We've been talking about the seven spirits of God, and particularly the operation of the seven eyes that go to and fro all the earth. Proverbs 15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro the whole earth, the seven eyes of the Lord." It's not like the Lord standing there with seven eyes. The seven eyes of the Lord's a picture of the Holy Spirit and the perfection of His omniscience. And actually, it says in Revelation 3:1, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that is true, he that hath the seven spirits of God." We know the seven spirits of God is speaking about the Holy Spirit, because the greetings of Revelation chapter 1, when John does the greetings, you don't ever see Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost in the book of Revelation. He's termed by the seven spirits of God. It says, "Greetings from him that who was and is to come," that's the Father, "from the seven spirits of God," that's the Holy Spirit, "and from Jesus." So the three give their greetings in the book of Revelations. And it says about Christ, him that hath the seven spirits of God, they're resting on him. You see the picture of it perfectly in chapter 5. It says that the Lamb was standing before, and it says, "Who is worthy to open the book?" And it says, "A Lamb that was slain," but now he's standing as a Lamb that was slain, "and having seven horns, seven eyes," which are the seven spirits of God. Also said in chapter 4, the same spirits of God were the seven lamps burning before the throne, which is the lampstand of Zechariah 4. If you really just want to know what the whole lampstand is about, is the seven spirits of God that will be released in the last days. The light that's coming from those seven spirits of God with the operation of the seven eyes and the seven horns of authority. But every time you see horn in the book of Revelation, it's speaking of kings or kingdoms. Seven horns are speaking of the perfection of his kingly anointing. They're resting on him. You know, they're upon him. It's the Holy Spirit, the seven spirits of God, and the function of those seven spirits with seven eyes of omniscience, seven horns of omnipotent dominion. I remember when the Lord originally gave me this whole operation of time habitation. It's amazing what happens when the Lord speaks to you years, way before the time he'll actually engage those operations. When he speaks to you, you think it's then and now. You know what I'm saying? And you go try to function and you fall on your face, and or you try to get frustrated with the things that God's sharing you, because he shares all these things with you, but you're not walking in it. Just because he's sharing it with you doesn't mean it's the time to walk in it. Sometimes he'll share it to you a long time before you will walk in it. I mean, he's telling Moses he's to deliver a long time before he ever would deliver. He's telling Abraham he's going to birth a nation a long time before he ever did that. So don't get frustrated just because God's showing you something and you're not walking in it yet. There's a time that you will walk in it, and he'll bring all that back. Amen? He'll bring the whole thing back to your remembrance. He's bringing the whole thing about time habitation back, the operations of what I call time habitation, our capacity to operate beyond the limitation of time, beyond the boundaries of time. You know, your spirit is not subject to the laws that govern this earth. Your spirit man's way above. Amen? Now, just because he is, if he's never taught who he is, he may never get out of this operation of the earth. The soul can confine the spirit into its own operations if you don't watch it. If you train too much in the realm of the soul, it'll just take over. And though that spirit's an heir, a new man made in a God class, made as a new creation, has the capacity to operate in the realm of the spirit under the influence of the seven spirits of God, if it never is taught that way, it never will. Amen? So he's bringing all this back, which is amazing, and he's putting it together in ways that are just blowing my mind, for sure. It's not easy to blow my mind. Hallelujah. But I'm pretty amazed at what he's doing right now. So as he's bringing all this back, he's talking about these operation of seven eyes. He's ready to start this operation of the seven spirits of God, and particularly the seven eyes of the Lord. Just a little bit more review. We see this Old Testament, New Testament, modern day example. I have it all in the Constitution, but he put all this together. And this has really like five or six in one area. It's the vision of what is to come. It's the precedence. you don't capture what God says to you and you don't put it on the page, the enemy will surely try to take it from you. You have to have something that binds you to that during times of difficulty. You're not always going to live on the mountain until you're skilled to live on the mountain. Amen? And that's what binds you to the vision, the purpose, the destiny. You hold and keep those words in the midst of your heart. Anyway, we put these things in the Constitution, and he began speaking to us about these operations of the seven eyes of the Lord. It's apostolic. It's prophetic. We see it in the ministry of Elisha. If you remember Naaman, we've talked about this last couple services. He told him to go wash seven times, and he finally did. And Naaman wants to give him all this treasure because he's bringing these packed horses full of treasure. He's a king, and Elisha says, listen, now is not the time for that. There was time that he received from his own mantle on the multiplication of the oil, because now not the time of that right now. He goes, go your way. Well, Gehazi was his servant, you remember, and this guy, I don't think you can get any more dumb. He had the spirit of stupid on him for sure. I mean, how can you be a disciple of Elisha and understand that mantle and go do what he did? I mean, he followed Naaman and said, hey, Elisha's changed his mind. He's going to receive, after all, sons of the prophets have showed up. He's going to receive that blessing after all. And Naaman said, yeah, take it. Gave him two horses, just loaded, two mules full of treasure. And he takes those two mules and goes and hides the treasure, and he comes back into the presence of Elisha. And Elisha said something very remarkable. He said, hey, Gehazi, did not my spirit go with you? Notice the word go and with. Go and with. Elisha didn't see this. A lot of people don't understand there is advanced prophetic mantles that operate under the influence of the seven spirits of God. There is something you can see from the position you're in. And then there's another type of prophetic mantle where your spirit comes under the influence of the seven spirits of God, and your spirit is brought into the very environment which things happen in. Amen? His spirit, he wasn't looking at this from a distance. He was there. That's a whole different manifest. In fact, you see all three omnis working here. I call them omnipresent, omniscience, omnipotent dominion. All three of them are operating. The first omni was omnipresent. His spirits came under the influence of the seven spirits of God, and he went into the presence, and he went with Gehazi. The Holy Spirit brought him with, and he saw the whole thing verbatim, word for word. Isn't that incredible? This is the kind of operation that God is exposing us to in this hour. It's not going to be a prophet Elijah or an apostle Paul doing this, or just John G. Lake. It's going to be in a whole international corporate body of believers. They're going to operate under the influence of the seven spirits of God. This is predominantly the operation of the seven eyes. But when Elijah saw it, he judged it. See, he saw it, so he first, under the influence, he said, did my spirit what? Go with you. I was there in spirit. And then he saw the whole thing. And then he judged it when he got back. And that leprosy was on Naaman, fell on Gehazi. This works both ways. We see both of this in the ministry of Paul. In the church of the Colossian church, Paul said, I was with you, absent in body, but with you, say with you, in spirit, joying and beholding your order. Now notice this, his spirit, body, is one place. Spirit is in the presence of the church of the Colossian church. Present. He's joying and what? Beholding the order. He's receiving the download of omniscience. The Holy Spirit brings him under the influence of omnipresence, drops him into the church. Isn't that an incredible operation? Drops him into the Colossian church, and then he gets the full download of the church. Good thing he comes out joying, say joying, and beholding your order. So he beheld the order, good report. And amazing? In fact, you look at the book of Colossians and Ephesians, they're almost twins the way he writes to them, because they're both right hand of God churches, no doubt about it. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 5. I want to share this part with you. Same thing, but this is a judgment. This is a judgment operation, an apostolic judgment, but the same thing, though. And this is what's going to cause us to be so effective in the last days, this operation. And sometimes God is more interested in teaching me how these things work than just me functioning. He goes, I want you to understand how this works. I remember when he was sharing with Time Habitation, I didn't have a clue. I said, this lampstand has something to do with the knowledge of the future. But now I understand how it works. Our spirit comes under the influence of the seven spirits of God. You're going to see this happen in your life. Amen? You're going to be brought into places like John G. Lake. He actually flew into Africa as a little boy. He flew in. I don't know if y'all know that, but God took his spirit and he described it. When I was flying into Africa, there was no planes in that day, but he is flying to Africa, and as I'd fly over the land of Africa, God would download the different elements while I was flying over certain parts. While he's flying over, see, he's moving under the operation of omnipresence. Then he moves into omniscience. God would download the political, the financial, and the religious. He would download it all with that divine omniscient intelligence, and he'd start understanding the whole thing as a boy. Those excursions, he called them spirit excursions, he went there multiple times before he ever arrived there. When he arrived there, he knew everything about the landscape. He could talk to politicians in their language, and they were amazed. It gave him incredible favor because he knew everything about the political landscape. And he also knew what was going to happen in the future. He saw the wars there. He saw the battlefields. He talked about it. He said, I saw battles there. I saw the battlefields and the outcome of those battles. And I would tell the politicians the outcome of the wars that would come. Isn't that incredible? That's omniscience. Amen? Glory to God. That's how he birthed 1,400 churches. So, you don't get to go choose where you go, they choose. Amen. It's all part of your calling, your destiny. But what if God chooses to drop you down in the marketplace? What if he chose to drop you into the future of the marketplace before it happened? Because the eyes of the Lord are not limited to time. Okay, 1 Corinthians 5, yeah. Yeah, it's verse 3. I want you to see these words. They're very powerful. For verily, as absent in body, amen? Absent in body, but what? Present. So, it says, I was absent in body. Absent in body, but what? Present, what? In spirit. Now, the Corinth church was it was the most carnal of all, for sure. And God, he's looking at all this, because he birthed this church. He's looking at this from the spirit, but God takes him in there in his spirit. See, that is an operation. We see an apostolic and prophetic operation where his spirit comes under the influence, seven spirits of God, and he comes into the church. He's absent in body, but he's present. Say present. Now watch what he says. And I have judged already this thing of this fornication as though I were present. Isn't that amazing? Concerning him that did this deed, there was nothing different whether he was present or not. He judged the situation in the spirit and turned this man over to the destruction of his flesh. So the spirit was saved. And he says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, listen, God, this is an operation. God opens the hearts of man. Things spoken in secret are not secret under this kind of omniscience. Amen. And God does not consider that a violation to walk in the midst of someone's conversation. He says, and when you are gathered together and my spirit with what? The power, the dunamis. Say the dunamis. That was the secret of Elijah. The spirit and dunamis power of Elijah, which is Elisha's double portion, dunamis is present in this operation. Isn't that amazing? A whole other operation of dunamis here. This whole operation, see, it's part of dunamis, part of the omniscience of God. What are the three first inheritances that are coming out? Dunamis, generational wealth, and omniscience, Revelation 5. Amen. Isn't that good? So, when you're gathered together, I'm with you. Absent in body, with you in spirit. He was not joying and beholding their order. He was correcting things in the spirit without a cell phone. Amen? Think about Paul in those days. If Paul lived in our day and hour, he could pick up a cell phone. Oh, my. He had to wait sometimes months, but God would take him in there and judge things and make the correction without him having to be present in body. That's an operation of your spirit man. Amen? God's trying to make this operation. He's trying to take the spookiness out of it and show you under the influence of the seven spirits of God, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, apostolically, prophetically, under the influence, your spirit can come under influence and move. Amen? Glory to God. To and fro the whole earth. There's no limitation. Amen? As long as we're under the influence, and when you're there, there is a purpose for moving in that position. When you're there, there's a purpose for the omnipresence, because then omniscience kicks in. Amen? And as the omniscience kicks in, as omniscience, you start understanding things at a level way beyond your understanding. That transcends all of your understanding. You're given the omniscience of God in that situation to understand like He understands. He downloads it to you. Isn't that awesome? And then, under certain circumstances, dominion or omnipotence kicks in, like when Paul judges the situation. Amen? Or when John G. Lake saw that omnipotent dominion was with him, and he was able to birth because of all the wisdom that he was given. You know, the presence of God was so powerful. I don't know how many of you have read about him on his life, but it was at times liquid. The presence would become liquid. It would come out of his hands in a liquid presence. He'd hold his hands up like this, and liquid fire. It was actually blue. He said it would fall on the people. He says people try to run up and they would hit that liquid glory and just lay out all over the place. That's kind of presence was on him. Isn't that incredible? He and his teams, he was a scientist too. He loved to discover. So they would take like the plague, like the black plague, and he'd put it in his hand. Like, don't touch that. He goes, no, I just put it in my hand. And he'd show them, he'd put it under a microscope. Now watch this. As the presence of God, they put the plague in his hand. The scientists, they would come in with all their, you know, things on, and they would, little in the petri dish, and they put it in his hand, and he put it on the microscope, and it would die in his hands. Isn't that incredible? It would be wiping out whole parts of cities, but in his hand, it would die. And it's his healing teams, they would go in. Isn't that incredible? Amen. Even Elisha, as you should read about it in 2 Kings 6, because I want to get you Proverbs 8 here in a minute. God would take him in. I think Assyria was warring against Israel. And they didn't know there was a prophet there. And every time they would launch a scale, Elisha says, get your soldiers out of that area. And the king of Syria got so frustrated. He said, who among you is telling our secrets? And they said, it's none of us, but they've got a prophet there. He said, he can hear what you whisper in your bedchamber. There is nothing you can say. He's not going to know it. His spirit was among his enemies. Absent in body, but present in the chambers of his enemies. Isn't that incredible? Wow! Hearing and beholding everything they would say and do before they did it. And he would reposition, that's omnipotence, he'd reposition, see. The omniscience would give him the understanding, he'd reposition the army, see. So that king decided, well, okay, I'm just going to find, where is this man at? And he sent a whole army there. You remember the story? And that whole army there, and he says, I'm going to wipe this guy out. And Elisha's new servant, he's new. He takes Gehazi's place, so he's kind of new at this. He's all, what are we going to do? There's a whole army. He said, Lord, open his eyes. There are more for us than are against us. And he saw chariots of fire that lined the whole place. Isn't that incredible? Man, what a mantle. Yeah, and he blinded him, and here's the way to go, and he marched him right into the king of Israel's camp. Handed him the enemy. The king of Israel said, let's swipe him out. He goes, no, you let him go. And they fed him and let him go. and they never came back there again. God silenced an entire army with one man's mantle. Silenced an entire army. Isn't that incredible? This is how the white horse is going to run. Violence is going to move in this country to unprecedented levels, being fueled by public media hatred. It's going to fuel violence, and God is going to silence the violence with the servants of the Lord. He's going to silence whole crowds and turn them to the Lord. See, the world hasn't seen the church yet at this level, but it's about to see the white horse run, going forth, conquering the conqueror. And this is the kind of weaponry God's going to give us. Amen? The operation of the omnis. Omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotent dominion. Operating under the influence of the seven spirits of God. Isn't that glorious? Amen. Go over to Proverbs 8. So I thought, he takes me into this and he starts interpreting these scriptures. I can't share everything he's interpreting because he's given me some special things for a special thing. I'm going to the Greek to confirm what he's saying. And sure enough, that's exactly what it said. It's incredible. I want you to see something. Just caught up in wisdom, starts talking to me the way she likes to talk. I mean, it was amazing. But I want you to see something. Verse 2 says, she stands in the top of the high places. Which ones? All of them. She's omnipresent, number one. Wisdom is the seven spirits of God. This is what Solomon tapped into. He tapped into this operation of the seven spirits of God and this divine intelligence. How he did all the things he did. He tapped into it, but she stands in the top of all the high places, all of them. Political high places, financial high places, religious high places, all of them. She sits at the top. Say top. She's above it all. That's the first thing you need to know about wisdom. She is above all of it. Amen? She's not caught up in it. The first thing that I was told, do not try to hear me and to operate in this level where you are. Because I don't operate where you are. I operate above. I give the instructions flow above. And then you take it down to where you are. Don't ask me to bring all this down to the filtration process. Pass through the second heaven. Pass through the. She's above. Say above. She's above. She sits in the high places. When I say she, he, however you want to do it, but it's a she. And Solomon understood wisdom as a woman. She called a she. It's the woman of wisdom. There's no doubt about it. It's still the seven spirits of God. It's still the Holy Spirit. She was with the Lord in creation. Drop down in this chapter. When he created the earth, I was with him. When he set the boundaries of the sea, the Lord was the creator. I was with him. Is one brought up with him by his side. Daily is delight. Perfect fellowship. The Lord and wisdom. She sits and stands at the top. She's omnipresent. Amen. Say omnipresent. She sits on top of all high places. In other words, she sits in the top of the very issue you're dealing with. Amen. She has the answer to the very issues you're dealing with. Amen. The first thing she said to me, or what was said to me, is before you want to operate in this realm, you must come completely, 100% into the rest, where you cease from all your labor. Amen? She said like this in chapter 3, lean not unto your own understanding. Do not lean into yourself. Don't lean into your capabilities. Don't lean into your understanding. Don't lean into your wisdom. Don't lean into your knowledge, because you're going to be put in situations that you are not going to be able to climb out of. You're going to be put into situations that only God can deliver you out. Amen. And we got to get through this notion that God rides in with a white horse and rescues us out with his superpower. Which he is going to ride in with a white horse. But in our circumstance, he's going to deliver us through the process of wisdom. Amen? And so before anything, I spend more time emptying myself than I do trying to hear or receive or understand. You have to get in the place where she dwells. Where does she dwell? In the top of the high places. Amen. She's above it all. Third heaven. New Testament, third heaven. Seated together with Christ in the right hand of God. Above all second heaven interference. There's a reason why you're being trained like this. Amen. There's a reason why God wants us to learn the different operations. Until you see, she won't take over. As long as she's not going to compete with your understanding, she won't do it. She won't compete with your ways. You have to cease from your own understanding. Amen? Boy, there's a lot that she offers here. Look at verse 6. She cries at the gate. Verse 3, she cries at the entry of the city, at the coming of the doors. She's calling unto you, men. I call. She calls you at the gate to come out, see? She's coming into your gates, to your doors, the entrance to your city, your streets. And she's calling you out first. Amen? She's calling you up. She's got to call you out of your situation before she can affect the change in your situation. She calls you out so you can hear her. There has to be a division of soul and spirit there. There has to be a surrendering of the operation of the soul. There has to be an utter surrender of our own ways. Do not lean. How many times God says, trust in the Lord with all. Trust in the Lord with part of your heart and the rest. Trust in you. Say all. That's her requirement. But her price is far above silver and gold. Amen? She said in verse 10, she said, the Holy Spirit just said it like this to me. It says, receive my instruction instead of striving for the silver. Receive my knowledge instead of striving for towards gold. I'm like, that's not in there. And Amplified actually says that. She said, go to the Amplified. It said that exact word. She's interpreting these scriptures to me. Receive this above the strivings. If you'll receive my instruction above those that strive for these things in the earth. Amen. Here's another one she gave me. That's awesome. That's so awesome. Verse 6, here I will speak of excellent things. I mean, it was spoken to me under this influence. It says, I will give you things pertaining to kingly matters. I will speak excellent things. I'm like, that doesn't say that. And I looked up into the Greek and it does say it. Isn't that awesome? I was getting interpreted in reverse. You normally go to the Greek to get the interpretation? I was getting the interpretation and going to the Greek and saying exactly. Verse 6, if you run the excellent things right there, you know what it means in the Strong's? Princely. Things concerning governorship. Amen? In the Strong's it says things that concern the commander, military, things, excellent things, concerning chief governorship, noble things, princely things, chiefly things. Isn't that amazing? She told me that. What that? I will speak things concerning kingly matters. I will speak kingly matters, and what I say will be right. And I only speak truth. In other words, she didn't mess around. When she gives the wisdom, she's going to lay it out for you. Amen? That's why she's calling you up. When she gives the wisdom, it's not partial. It's full, complete. Amen? It's right. There's no lying in her. She can't lie. It's impossible. So she's going to give you truth in the matter. She's going to show you the truth of how to get out of your circumstance. She's not going to leave it to you. You know, she said, she goes, the deck is already stacked against you from the day you were born. Between the world system and the demonic entities that control it, it was already stacked against you. But not with wisdom. That's why she's always asking and offering her incredible insight to situation. I'll speak kingly matters to you. I'll speak to you concerning kingly matters. And she goes on to say, by me, the kings will rule and reign in the earth. You're not going to rule and reign without her. Amen? She's there. The open of my lips will be right things. Verse 8, all the words of my mouth. I mean, I can read this to you here, but when you're there and she's saying all this to you and the way she's saying it to you, the way it's being revealed to you, it's a whole nother realm. It's like I tapped in a little bit to the omniscience and it was rolling so fast. She was like, this is what that chapter means. It's like your spirit gets brought up into divine intelligence and you're downloaded stuff at a phenomenal level. And I'm used to downloads and it was blowing me out. Amen. I love this one. She said, all the words of my mouth are righteous. There's nothing froward or perverse. She goes, I will not lead you down a wrong path. I'll not give you half truth, and I'll not leave you wanting. Isn't that incredible? Watch this. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to him that finds my knowledge. Did you hear that? They're all plain. She said, I will make it plain to you. You're not going to be wondering if you just heard. She's going to lay it out for you. Amen? She's going to lay out some things for us. What is this going to do when we get a hold of this? What if we get a hold of this in the church realm? The political realm? The priestly realm? The kingly realm? The financial realm? What's it going to do when she starts just laying it out? Because that's what she's doing. Amen? She said, they're plain. She said, I'm going to make it plain to you. That's what I do. Receive my instruction instead of striving for the things in the earth. Isn't that incredible? I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out the knowledge of witty invention. She goes, I search it out. I seek it out. I find it. Counsel is mine, verse 14. Sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, the princes will rule. I love those that love me. Those that seek me diligently will find me. And she starts talking to me. This final part, I'm skipping out a bar because just to finish this. Verse 34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. See, do you get to her gates? Waiting at the post of my doors. Where does she dwell? Highest place. Blessed are those that are watching and waiting for me there. Blessed are those who are seeking me there. See, here's the wrong thing to do. Lord, you're in the middle of a storm. You're in the middle of a situation. Grant me wisdom. Grant me wisdom. You're way out of alignment. That's why your prayers don't get answered. That's not where she communicates from. Instead of doing all that, the thing to do is start the process of surrender. Start the process of entering in. Start the process of moving to where she dwells and where she communicates from. From a position of rest. Because see, when you're doing, help me do this, you're still in your head. You're still in your soul. You're still trying to work it all out. Amen? You're also in a place of fear. She doesn't dwell in fear. She's far from oppression. All her ways are ways of pleasantness. All her paths are peace. That's one thing she says, I don't dwell in your fear. I don't speak through your fear either. You got to come out from that. Amen? Thus the need to come up into the rest. The higher, the deeper you get in the rest, the more qualified you are to start receiving the process of omniscience. Amen? Because when you get in the rest, that's where you have ceased. Your soul has ceased. Your will has ceased. Your mind has ceased. Your body has ceased from all its toil, all its labor, all of its anxiety. Everything's come. You've ceased from all your own works. Internal works, external works. That's where she begins. Amen? Got to get to her gates where she communicates. That's what she told me, bar none. She's making that very clear to me. Do not try to operate in this from where you are. It doesn't work that way. I spent half the time getting there and the other time enjoying what I was hearing. But I spent more time getting in position here because she told me where she dwells. She dwells in the right hand of God. She dwells in the rest. From the rest, you can begin communicating. Amen? It's awesome. I'm going to close here. There's really no closing this chapter. I can't wait to go back in there tomorrow. Because I don't know what else she's going to do. What else is going to be said? I'm just trying to find that place. It says, wisdom has builded her house. She's shewn out her seven pillars. Wow, that's seven again. Seven pillars, seven eyes, seven horns, seven spirits of God. A lot of sevens when you're dealing with wisdom. Amen? She's killed her beasts. Boy, I like this. She's mingled her wine. She hath furnished her table. You know what that is? That is a king's feast. She's opening the table for the kings. The kings are the only ones that ever ate that way. They put the whole beast on the table, the wine, the bread, and she has the clarion call, come and now eat from the king's table. Eat of the bread that I'm delivering from the king's table. When you get in her house, she's going to feed you from the king's table. She's going to feed you the kind of wisdom that causes you to be a king, to rule, reign, decree justice, to judge matters wisely, to come back into your arena. And suddenly you're in your arena now, right? And all of a sudden you have the omniscience to deal with your issues. You have the understanding to deal with because you received it from a higher place. Amen? Instead of trying to get that higher place down to where you are, you got to come up. And that's where she speaks. That's where she feeds you. That's where you begin the process. And when you come back, you are loaded with what? I'm armed with wisdom. I know exactly what to do, how to do it, when to do it. I know what the problem is. Amen? You're loaded with the kind of wisdom that fixes your situation. That's why she calls you out from your circumstance into her house. She's come and eat from my table. Isn't that glorious? Drink of the wine I've mingled. This is king's wine here. Isn't that glorious? It's a king's table. That's what's wrong with us. We're not eating from the right table. What's wrong with us is we're too much in our own self. Doing it our own way or doing it church way. You can eat from church table. Amen? He's trying to get us out from the church table to the king's table. Amen? Let's see the two proverbial wisdom. The woman of chapter 7, the woman of the world system, boy, she don't wait in her house. She comes after you at every corner of your life. Every street she's there. She is there. She is vying for you. So is wisdom. But wisdom's calling you up. And the harlot's calling you in. Amen? They're both issuing this clarion invitation. It's incredible. Okay, wisdom has sent forth her maidens, verse 3. She crieth upon the highest. She crieth on the what? Highest places of the city. Put your finger there in verse 3. Now go down and put your finger in verse 13. The foolish woman is clamorous. She's simple, knoweth nothing. She sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. That's the woman of chapter 7. Where does wisdom sit? Highest places she calls. Where's the harlot sit? High places. Second heaven, third heaven. You see that? Come. The harlot's calling you her system. Wisdom's calling you to her wisdom. Amen? All right? Wisdom says, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I've mingled. What does the harlot say? As for him that wanteth understanding, she said, them stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. See the counterfeit? See, the darkness is always counterfeiting the light. See that? Almost to the word. Wisdom saying, forsake foolishness and live. Go in the way of understanding. Come out. You have to develop a taste for this realm. As long as you're still doing it your way and happy doing it your way, or miserable doing it your way, you can still be miserable and still not find wisdom. You have to develop a taste that's built off desire to do it God's way. Amen? Otherwise, you'll never come up high enough. Just keep doing same rodeo, same mountain. Amen? We got to come up now. Where she dwells, where she talks, where she communicates, where she downloads. I don't know what all she's going to speak, but I'm feeling in my heart, when I say she, wisdom, I'm feeling wisdom is ready to unload like she did on Solomon. She made him who he was. He didn't even know how to come in or go out. He became the greatest king ever before his fall. The greatest businessman, poet, minister, preacher. He did it all under the influence of the seven spirits of God. Isn't that amazing? Father, thank you. Oh, thank you for this realm. Thank you for this incredible realm that we have now. We understand where wisdom dwelleth. We understand that we need this greater than we'll ever know. That we need this operation to be effective and fruitful in this last hour. We need the seven spirits of God. This level of omniscience to be with us, omnipresence, omnipotent dominion, to understand earthly perspective from a heavenly place. Understand situations from a heavenly perspective. To grant this operation to be with us, teach us, train us, equip us, lift us into the gates, into the house of wisdom, to begin eating from the king's table. We give you the glory. We give you the glory, the glory, the glory. Teach us how to operate in this realm. I'm so hungry for it. I'm so hungry now. I thank you. Oh, my heart. Thank you.